Tannehill under some pressure is hit. Now tries to get out, and he's going to get sacked. I think the ball sprinted free.
I think Russell Allen got it.
And Allen got to it at the 20-yard line.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach, right from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, American Express, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
All right, good evening and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show here across the Jaguars Radio Network. This quick reminder for those of you in Jacksonville, you can join Jeff Loggeman right after our radio program this evening over on CBS 47 for Jaguars All Access, which starts at 7 o'clock. And Cecil Shorts is the special guest this evening, coming off his fourth 100-yard game of the year. Boy, he got going again. That was great to see in Miami, because we were all wondering how would the concussion from Buffalo affect him.
No, I was glad to have Cecil back. He is a big impact player for us, and he's a threat to defenses. And, you know, yesterday he missed a couple, shoestring tackles, or he'd have been even bigger in the numbers.
Well, and Blackman finished with 93 yards, so the duo combined for almost 200 yards. And Blackman should have had a touchdown as well. And I'm not one of those shoulda guys, but, you know, that penalty on Guy Wimper really hurt, because if Blackman goes in, you're up 10-3, and now you're talking about both receivers going over 100 yards and playing really well.
And really the momentum that we had at that point with a turnover and score on the first play after the turnover, that's devastating for a team, as it would have been for the Dolphins if we would have been able to keep that touchdown. But we have had a play here or there every one of the games we've been in that has just been monumental in changing the momentum of the game, and I can't explain why, but that penalty really hurt us. I mean, really hurt us. And and Guy Wimper has reported every single time in practice and in games. We're talking 400-plus times.
I watched him the rest of the game when he came in, and I saw him make the signal.
He does every time, yeah. I think. And I think he did in the game. I just don't think the official – he did not do it as we ask. You know, you got to go all the way up to the referee with right. the white hat on and make sure that he sees you. And I think Guy just gave him the signal because he's been doing it so many times, and it just didn't
– He's playing so much tight end. Is there any way you can just move his number? Put him in a different number at this point?
Well, it's – you know, we're trying to use some personnel groupings for some of the things we're doing, protections, right. but it's just an incredible that happened on, you know, wasn't like a 1 yard run. It was a big touchdown momentum when it happened.
You know, Coach, and I know for a lot of the questions that you're asked on Mondays, the answers are either very simple or they're really not there. You know, for instance, first half of the last two games in particular, maybe the Buffalo game as well, I felt like, you know, you drive the ball down the field. Of course, against the Jets, Chad is hit and intercepted. But yesterday, you get down to the 15-yard line, and then things fall apart, and you have to settle for a field goal. I mean, I felt like in the first half, and the numbers bear it out, that you were right there in the ball game with a chance to, you know, to grab control.
It was very evenly, I mean, play, count, time, possession, everything. We were 38 plays, 37 plays. We've done a better job as of late on the first drive of the game. That's, you really want to kind of set the tempo and establish something early, and we have. We just haven't finished with touchdowns, and that's a backbreaker for your opponent, that you take the opening drive down for a touchdown. We just the thing we did better yesterday early was the third downs. We converted third downs, and you know, when you get down the red zone, they're a little harder. You got to just lock in, focus a little more, and protect even better down there. But that's the one thing we have not done this year.
Right, and when you look at it, you know, I mean, even towards the end of the game, they got the late touchdown in the second quarter. Should have been 10-10. It was 10-3. Go into the halftime locker room, come out, and then all of a sudden, you know, Tannehill has some success. He hit the 38-yard pass down the seam, and Reggie Bush got free for the 53-yarder, which, you know, gave them 92 rushing yards in the third quarter. It's that third quarter where,
right.
And I may be oversimplifying it. I don't intend to, but it's that third quarter where the offense goes three and out a couple of times, and the defense struggles to.
That's been our for sure as the last few games going back to Buffalo, where we've come out in the third quarter and just kind of stalled. And you know, we've had momentum going in. Yesterday, I can't say that's the case, because what happened was, after the penalty, we don't even get points. You know, I try to go for it on fourth and one. I'm, again, trying to be aggressive to score touchdowns,
right.
And stay away from the field goals, but we got to make the fourth and ones. That's just the percentages of making them is greater, but not doesn't seem to be for us right now. And then not to get points, and then for them to take that drive and go down and score a touchdown, you're just talking about a huge swing in points. You know, really,
it's like a 14-point swing.
It's a 14-point swing that just happened in a matter of minutes going in to halftime. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get your gears going to come out that third quarter. But, you know, they hit a big play early, and that hurts, that first play of the third quarter with the rollout throw out to Hartline. And, you know, we just couldn't stop the momentum then.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at it, Coach, the offensive line yesterday – struggled to contain. Bradfield had a couple of holding penalties, and I mean, you knew Cameron Wake was going to be a guy that was going to make some things happen. Early, at least, they struggled against him. They were able to settle down and shore up a little bit over there on that right side, but Wake is such a tremendous player.
He's a great player. We had a serious plan to try to keep him from being a factor in changing this game. We had guys lined up in front of him all day long trying to chip him. We cut him. We were banging him. We were doing everything we can to help Cam out, and we knew it was a tough matchup for him all day. And you know, the times that we had to hold the ball a little bit to get the ball down the field, you know, Cam had a couple holding calls. But that's a tough matchup for anybody.
355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. Let's take a break. You can pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. There is no purchase necessary. More with head coach Mike Mularkey, and we'll start looking forward to the Patriots game on Sunday right after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you can get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Coach, we talk so often on the air and off about football being a game of inches, and sometimes it's the little things that all add up to become big things that break down. I know you were talking about penalties earlier today, and your team has not been a heavily penalized team, one of the least penalized teams in the National Football League, and then you get a day with 10, and I know you're left scratching your head on that one.
Yeah, really, we had 12. They declined two of them. We take a lot of pride in that because that is being very disciplined when you don't have penalties, and penalties, you know, not having them equates to having more wins, typically. And we just, you know, I don't want to start something here that we're just not that way. A couple of calls, again, you know, they could have gone either way when you look at them. But don't even give them a chance to call something. That's the big point. But we really missed some things, little things yesterday that was very uncharacteristic of our team and some of our guys that would have made the difference in a lot of plays and maybe made it a little tighter game than it was.
You know, and we don't watch practice, so we don't know. But I go back to what we saw in the offseason and in the in training camp, and there was such attention paid to detail by your coaches. I mean, we marveled at how much a guy like Jerry Sullivan lays the towels down and is counting guys' steps and counting on the clock, and it was amazing to watch. And I really thought that the little things were covered when I watched you guys coach in the spring.
Well, that's why I think, you know, I like I said yesterday, I take responsibility for that because that's very important to me, and I know it's very important to our staff, but obviously it starts with me making sure that they are prepared and do not do the things that we did yesterday. And
is it a compound effect? I mean, when you get to this point of the season and you've only won two games, do you think that that's part of the issue?
I think it does play in a little bit. It is tougher to spend that extra time, and, you know, when you're not in the playoffs, you're not in the hunt, I think it is a little tougher. You know, you got to put it on yourself to spend the time at this time of the year,
right?
And because you know, I can't tell you how many times I've told the players that, you know, it's a game of inches. It's a very small. It's a fine line of winning in this business in the NFL every week, and that fine line is play by play. As we've seen, plays can change games and seasons.
Yeah, I mean, a guy lined up on the line of scrimmage or off the line of scrimmage or too deep in the backfield or out of his fit in the defense. Yeah, and
Reggie Bush's run was one, you know, instance where we just didn't fit the run, and that's a run we see every single week. Everybody runs it, we run it. That's the one that Maurice.
You hit him in the backfield so often yesterday. I mean, he was corralled and contained most of the day, and then one guy out of his gap, and that's where Reggie Bush can really beat you.
Right, really. That's kind of been the what's been going on the whole year. We've had really pretty good, if you look at the numbers as far as runs per carry, when you take out the explosives, you got to count them, obviously, but you got to count the big runs with the stats. But we've really done a good job defensively of stuffing the runner. It's just we have given up some big plays that put the that you know distorts the numbers a little bit. But you know, talking about the little things, it's just like Guy Whimper's not running over the official to make sure it was clear that he was reporting.
That's, asking him to acknowledge.
That's just a little thing that is just you just can't start taking it for granted. He sees me. I'm giving him the signal that I'm in. Just a little thing like that. And Guy, you know, none of these guys are obviously doing this intentionally, but you got to be on point every single play. It's just critical for us.
Well, it's worth noting, and I don't know whether our listeners caught it. At this time of the year, you said it's hard to do the extra because you only get so much time on the practice field with these guys, and your day is pretty well planned out in terms of your meeting schedules and when they lift and when they eat. Guys on teams who are going to the playoffs find it's probably pretty easy to do the extra because they know one play can make the difference between advancing or not.
Right, right. That's the case. And, you know, that's the thing I'm talking about always, doing the little things when nobody's watching. How well do you want to be prepared? That's just being a professional. That's doing your job and wanting to do it better than you've done it before, even the week before, and always constantly improving. But you can't walk out of this building and wait to hear about, you know, what's going in the next day.
Sure.
You got to want to gather it, take it home and study it. And it's that time of the year where we're at. And I'm not saying they're not, but it's whatever happened, we had a lot of mistakes in this game.
Are you still happy with their effort level on the practice field and their energy level on game day?
Their effort, I told them that today. I said that has never been a question. I mean, you watch our film from yesterday, especially watch our defense. You talk about a bunch of guys flying around to the football. No question that the effort's there, because I said that's unacceptable not to be. That'll be the first thing that gets them out the door is if they don't play with effort. And that's just not tolerated. And that hasn't been a question. We got a good group of guys that really want it. They're doing the best they can. But we just got to do some little things better.
Sure.
But the effort has not been an issue.
It wouldn't be a little thing to get Darryl Smith back or Maurice Jones-Drew back or some of these injured guys back. What can you tell us about some of these injured guys that you've been waiting on with two games left to play?
Well, we're still kind of waiting on Maurice, the pain tolerance. I'm not going to rule him out for this game. I'm hoping he sees that we could sure use him. Montel has done the best he can for us and made some good runs for us, really has. But, obviously we've missed Maurice and what he can bring to our team and to our offense and really to our passing, everything.
And you really haven't had him since the first half of the Chicago game, because the second half we were playing catch-up out there, and he went out in the first series against Oakland.
Right. That's
it's been a long time.
It's been
since
a long time.
Him.
It's been a long time. And Darryl Smith is just. I'm hoping he's back. I think it's a better than likelihood that he'll be back. And
I saw him on the plane the other day, and he walked by, and I did just, wow, is Darryl going to play? I mean, I knew he wasn't, but just the thought that he might, because he's such an impactful player.
He is, and he's. You can just tell by his whole demeanor. He's feeling better because when he wasn't playing and he was hurting, he was down in the dumps, and that's just the professional he is. But you can tell he is. He's worked his way back up, and we're going to be smart this week. We're going to build it all the way up, and we'll make a decision by Saturday.
Okay, and I'm sure you're asked this all the time, but for our audience, at the end of the season like this, with Maurice, a running back with a foot, Darryl, a guy who has to run with the groin, do you hesitate putting them back in here at the end of the season when you're finishing out with two games to play?
Not if they're healthy. I mean, we want to win these games still. I mean, there's nothing's changed. This is not about evaluating younger and players or playing younger players more. It's still about winning this Sunday, about beating the Patriots, about beating the Titans. And we need everybody that can help us do that. And that's Maurice, if he's capable of going, and certainly Darryl Smith. But we've missed those guys.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I've talked to a lot of the players over the course of the season, and how much of a difference would Darryl make? No offense to anyone who's filled in his spot, but we're talking about the Jaguars' best defensive player for most of the last decade, and to have him, coming off a good season,
right,
team last year. So
I mean, I really, when we played, when I was with Atlanta last year, Darryl was what I consider a game wrecker, a guy you have to know, you have to take care of this guy, or he can be a force in changing the outcome of the game. And, that's what we thought about him. And obviously we haven't had him, and that's what we've missed.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now. Hey, by the way, you have a chance to see the Jaguars take on the Patriots on Sunday for just $20 with a coin toss ticket. A limited number of coin toss tickets will be available for purchase here at EverBank Field Saturday between 9 and 1. For information, call 904-633-2000. Back with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, season ticket owners, don't forget to use your Teal Deals by signing up at TealDeals.com and downloading over $5,000 worth of gift certificates that you can use at merchants all over Jacksonville. Welcome back. Brian Sexton with the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey. The Patriots are a tremendous football team with a tremendous quarterback. I mean, I think everybody understands that. When you look at Tom Brady, and you know quarterbacks as well as anybody, I mean, where does he stack up there in
best ever?
Best ever conversations in your mind?
I'd have to say he's one of them.
I mean, you
look at the game last night, down 31-3, and I'd say a handful of people may have left the stadium. The rest just knew they're never out of the game as long as they've got Tom Brady back there.
You know, a couple of miraculous catches in the Super Bowl. You know, the guy that had it on his helmet and Mario Manningham on the sideline. Amazing throw by Eli last year, for sure. You know, and we're talking about a guy with 5 Super Bowl wins.
Right.
You know, I mean, which would be the most of all time, which would make him the greatest of all time. And the thing that just seems remarkable to me, Coach, is the way that he stands in the pocket. I mean, he stays there. Everything's going on around him, and he barely moves.
Well, he does get rid of the ball quickly.
True.
I mean, again, I'll say that even about yesterday's game, again, watching the tape a number of times that I watched it, and I watched it with Mel again, they got rid of the ball quickly because
– with Tannehill.
Yes. And so does Brady. He does get rid of the ball. If they're going to throw it down the field, which they've got players that can stretch the field, especially their tight ends, then they're going to block it up. And they do a good job with their protections. They're very solid up front, starting with Logan Mankins, who I think is one of the best guards in football.
He's really the tone setter for their entire offensive line.
Oh, he's a big physical.
He was mixing it up with J.J. Watt a couple of weeks ago, and last night he was going at it with Justin Smith.
He's been that way since he was in college. I mean, I remember watching him at the Senior Bowl. I loved him at the Senior Bowl. And, you know, he hasn't changed a lick. He sets the tone for that whole offense in their physical nature. But he's got some good guys to hold out up front for him. And then, obviously, the weapons are all over the place.
You, obviously, are not connected to the 5 losses to Tom Brady in the past year in Jacksonville. He's thrown 13 touchdowns and no interceptions. And the game that stands out the most to me was this 07 Jacksonville team that went on into the playoffs. And Mike Smith, who you know very well, his strategy in that ball game was not to rush the passer because Tom Brady had killed everyone on the blitz that year, but to drop back and wait for him to make a mistake. And he completed 26 of 28. I mean, he was just –
He's methodically
– He can do it either way.
And – you know, he's very good at a lot of things, obviously, but the way he uses the clock, they can be up tempo, they can snap it very quickly, they can get up to the line and have a play called, or they can wind it down to 2 or 3 seconds and just possess the ball and keep it away from you, which I've seen him do a number of times, especially with potent offenses that they're facing. I've seen him just, and what he does is he gets everybody to show their hands, uses the clock, and snaps it really about 2 seconds, you know, when the game's over with, you haven't had the ball very much.
Well, you're just starting on your game plan, and I wouldn't ask for it anyway. But big picture, do you try to trick it up against a guy like that with your defense, or do you line up and ask everybody, you got to find a way to win?
What we said today was, again, just based on the film, based on some of the things we've done this year, again, it's just another thing about doing your job. Don't try to feel like you need to do more. And that really relays to this game too. Just be in position, be where you're supposed to be, and be there, you know, for the full play, and just don't poke your head where it's not supposed to be, because this guy will expose us immediately. Yeah. And what happened last week could be worse if we are not in the places we're supposed to be. So we're like you said, we're putting the game plan together right now. Mel and that staff will have something that whatever we have to do to defend that offense, which is a very potent offense.
Yeah, not a lot of people have done it all that well. They've forced teams to try to keep up with them. And
right.
And then last night, Kaepernick had a big game, and they got things going, and they got out ahead and forced Brady to come back. And what were they down, 31-3?
Right.
You know, and the game ended up 41-34. So, I mean, it's just Randy Moss is on the other team, and they're still scoring like they did back in 2007, 2008.
Right. No, I mean, they've punted the least amount in the NFL right now. They're very good at putting points on the board. They've kicked off 100 times, 101 times, so you know they're putting points on the board. But
is this a game where you see your guys sharpen their edge in the classroom during the week? Because they know. They don't want to get out and get embarrassed. I mean, that guy's embarrassed a lot of people in his career. They don't want to go out there and look foolish. They go the extra mile and put the extra time in the film room.
This group definitely is going to be that way, and we got a bunch of guys in that locker room that will, even the young guys aren't sure how they're supposed to approach this game. They're going to be right there with them, teaching them how to be professionals against teams that have this kind of a potency with them.
Right.
And, so they'll be sharp.
Well, and there's probably a lot of people out there going, "Hey, how are you going to beat those guys? I mean, they're so good." And my response is, you know, we looked at Aaron Rodgers, and he was the hottest quarterback in the league back in late October. I mean, he destroyed the Texans that day. I mean, took them off the chart. And I thought, okay, well, this is going to be an interesting matchup. And you went up there and played good football. I mean, playing at his best day.
That's right. I mean, even Green Bay and the Texans, when we, you know, when Chad walked in there, I mean, Texans are playing their best football. I mean, maybe – I don't know if it's playing to the level of the team we're playing or whatever it is, but we've done pretty darn good trying to win these games against the teams that are playing their best football at whatever time of the year it's been.
Yeah, so there's no quit. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are going, "Oh, Tom Brady." Yeah, well, I mean, they line up.
No, our guys are not like that. They are not. That's one thing that's unique about this team, and I keep saying that, but it is a team that will always fight to the finish. There's no question about that.
All right, we need a break, and we've got much more ahead with head coach Mike Mularkey. And folks, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, a proud sponsor of the Jaguars. And we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Brian Sexton along with the head coach of the Jaguars. And try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs. It's $10.99. You get a huge helping of their barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, all for $10.99. Sonny's is the first name in barbecue here in Florida. All right, coach, you know, we were talking briefly off the air about the margin for error. And it hits me that it doesn't matter whether you're a 2-12 team playing Tom Brady, or if you're the Steelers, you know, or the Ravens, or one of these great defenses currently in the NFL, there is very little margin for error when you play a great quarterback. Doesn't matter who you are.
Does not matter who you are or what team you're playing. I mean, really, at this level in the NFL, it is such a, I said earlier, a fine line between winning. So your margin of error is very minimal. And obviously, the greater the opponent, the less it is. So,
right.
We have got to be right on target with everything we're doing. I mean, everybody, and I'm sure our guys will be that way. They will come in here. They've been very focused this whole year in a tough season. They've come in here and really prepared their tails off to win on Sundays.
The NFL is a game of matchups, isn't it? In many cases,
basically, it is. It is.
So, how do you match up against a guy like Gronkowski, who probably will play this week? He's missed a month with a forearm, and I think I heard Al Michaels say last night that Belichick thought that they would get him back this week, although the injury report may not indicate it, just playing some games there. But 17 touchdowns last year as a tight end yourself and a man who's coached them, you have to have a sense of what this guy has been able to do in his young career, huh?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, he's only played 10 games this year, and he's got 10 touchdowns.
He's got 27 touchdowns in the last 26 regular season games.
Yeah, that's
As a tight end?
That's amazing.
That's Randy Moss-like.
Yeah, it is. That'll tell you how dangerous of a player this guy is. And he blocks, too. He does it all. He's a threat anywhere on the field. And it's not like you just go down the red zone looking for him. He's everywhere. We got to keep a
And he's 6'6", and he's 265, and he runs really well.
Runs very well, very smart. You know, it's not just how athletic he is, but he's very smart. He understands coverages. He knows where the voids are. He's very patient as a route runner versus man. He's very good, and I mean, obviously, his production has shown that.
And the other guy, Aaron Hernandez, who Gator fans know well from his time at the University of Florida, 6'1", 245, not nearly as big,
but he can run.
Oh man, can he run?
He can really run. So I mean, those kind of guys, those
you
are
put
the
him
guys.
In tandem.
yeah, the matchup problems are big there. But, you know, and we're down a little bit here now with our secondary, too. Yeah. So we're going to have to do some things that we're definitely keeping those guys, aware of where they're at, on top of the Wes Welkers of the world.
Right. There's the other guy. I mean, Wes Welker.
Just another, I think it's his fifth year with 100-plus yeah. catches.
I mean, he will leave this game as one of the all-time greats. And it's funny, he was undrafted out of Texas Tech. He went to San Diego as a rookie free agent. They let him go. He went to Miami
I coached him in Miami.
Okay, so you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the numbers. I mean, I think he had 54 catches his fourth season there. In fact, I think if you look at his 4 years in Miami, he, in his first season with Tom Brady, eclipsed 4 years in Miami.
Yes.
So
I can believe that. This guy was our slot receiver. We had Marty Booker and Chris Chambers outside, so he was our third receiver.
Right.
And he led our team in receptions.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just that good. And the routes that he runs now, the little option routes, basically he goes and gets open. And Tom Brady finds him. And Tom Brady knows where he's going to run. And they're so on the page together that he's very tough to defend.
You know, I asked a scout the other day, you know, when you saw Tom Brady back in 2000, and I understand, I mean, everyone gets a grade based on where they were in college and how they performed at the combine. I mean, could you look at any guy, forget Tom Brady, and see future success? Could you just, I don't know, prognosticate it? And the answer was, well, no.
No.
And so when you had Wes Welker a couple of years ago in Miami, could you see where there was the potential for him to become one of the all-time greats?
Not as great as he is. Yeah. I mean, having this quarterback.
Tom, well, that's it.
That helps immensely.
You've got Dante Culpepper throwing to you. You're not the same.
Well, I don't want to go there.
No, I know you don't, but
It was different. I mean, and like I said, Wes was our leading receiver, and at the end of the year, we always talk about ranking our players, and I had Wes as one of our top players on our offense. You rank him, you know, as one of our top players, one of our biggest producers, and he was our third wide receiver at the time.
Yeah.
And then we traded him the next year when Cameron came in as a head coach. We traded him to New England for a second-round pick, and then the rest is history.
Well, and I'm sure the folks at the Dolphins front office thought a second-round pick for a guy who came as a free agent's a great steal.
At the time, I'm sure they thought that, but not realizing the production he would have. But, you talk about one of the toughest football players I've ever been around. He is one. Well, look at his size.
We do the ACL against Houston and comes back the next year, doesn't miss a beat.
He'll block, and he's just a physical. He's a good football player.
Really is. More of those guys. And there's lots of them out there. It's about finding the right opportunity at the right moment in time, I guess.
Right, and he is definitely he was a pleasure to work with.
Looking forward to seeing him. All right, to Jaguars
not
fans.
Not really.
No, well, no. No, you know what? I like to watch him when he's not playing against the Jaguars, but he's one of those guys where
he is. He's you root for him.
Oh, yeah.
When you're not playing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up and sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. Earn points every time you post something Jaguars, and use your points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets for the Jaguars game in London. We're back with more with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on Jaguars Radio. Are you getting credit for your Jaguars rewards? Sign up at rewards.jaguars.com to earn cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. Brian Sexton back with head coach Mike Mularkey. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I just want to go back to the tight ends real quick. In the last 2 years with Gronkowski and Hernandez up there in New England, it sure seems as if there has been a renewed interest in using the tight end in the National Football League.
I'd say there is. I mean, just because of the production, there's a lot of those guys. You look at New Orleans with Graham.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, they're just because you can create some mismatch problems outside with those guys.
Big guys who can run.
Big guys that can run. Especially big guy down in the red zone, great targets.
And I'm sure you've always felt that should be the case, right?
Well,
tight end being your
that's obviously my favorite position. But they're getting bigger and better. And really, I think I was with one of the first guys that became when I was with Eric Green in Pittsburgh. Where here's this guy that weighed 290,
huge,
could run, really run, and you talk about a big target.
I remember the first time I saw Eric Green, I wondered how they ever got him away from the offensive line. I mean, he was just that big.
Well, he could run.
Oh, man, could he run. And it was almost an unfair advantage to have a guy that big that could run and jump like he could.
At times when I was there, he was up to 300 and still very difficult to cover. And you talk about a guy that could block. And that's what New England with these guys, they're not afraid to stick their nose in there and block for the run game.
All right, this is the Mike Mularkey Show, and you can join us via Twitter at Jags Voice if you've got a thought and want to share it with the coach. Let's talk a little bit about the defensive side of the football for the Patriots. And just like we talked about the guard, why is his name escaping me?
Logan Mankins.
Yeah, Logan Mankins from Fresno State. It seems like Vince Wilfork is that guy on the defensive side of the ball that just sets the tempo. He's just so big.
Leader on their defense, one of the leaders, certainly one of the leaders up front, but you talk about a guy that's hard to block. He has been that way for a while. I think this year, I think he's even stepped it up a notch compared to last year. He's just a force. You talk about big guys that can run, he can do that. He's all over the place, and he's one-on-one blocks are very difficult against this guy. But
His hands and feet are so quick.
Very quick. Great hands. Great leverage. Great strength. Great quickness. You know, I look even at the Sam Adams, the old Sam Adams of the league. He's very similar to that, where he can be a factor in changing the outcome of a game.
And he's a really big guy, and they've got a couple of good linebackers, and they all just seem to play in tandem really well, which is what you want.
Right. You know, Mayo, again, playing at a high level. Great.
The rookie Hightower, too.
Right. Spikes, you know, we got a Gator. They got a very good up front seven players, and their scheme is very good. They've been together. You know, Bill Belichick is very involved with the defense, and they've got a good scheme because they have so many multitudes of fronts that they can play, and all those guys that they have fit to that scheme play them very well. So there's not a lot of guys out of place for the number of things that they do. So we really got to have to be on the ball.
All right, we're due for a break. We'll take it now. You're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show, and this is the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach, getting you ready for Sunday's game against the New England Patriots. We have done a dissertation on Tom Brady and how tremendous a quarterback he is and one of the all-time greats, the whole nine yards. We've talked a little bit about the defense. You know, the one thing, Coach, to go back to the offensive side of the ball, they got a couple of young running backs up there, and it's been a long time since Bill Belichick has had a name runner, you know, I mean a feature guy, and he really hasn't needed it. And obviously the quarterback makes a lot of that happen. But the two young guys they've got, Ridley and Vereen, are very smart runners. I mean, they seem to find where they need to be.
Right. I mean, 1,000-yard rusher right now. Yeah. And really was taken out and not played for a little bit. Put the ball on the ground twice last week.
Right.
And once the week before. And, you know, I think Bill just said, hey, need to just sit over here with me for a second and just understand the importance of ball security.
Holding on to the ball.
And you're talking about, I think he's got 1,100 yards rushing already. So the thing that quarterback we keep talking about, Brady, does, it puts coverages in that are tough to defend the run. So you're kind of in a catch-22. We try to stop all these weapons outside, and, you know, you're exposing yourself to the run game, and you got to be able to stop the run with limited defenders in the box.
You know, Reggie Bush finished with 104 yards, largely because he got free on that run for 53. But there were a lot of times where your guys had him 2-3 yards deep in the backfield, and he bounced around and just barely got back to the line of scrimmage. Jarris Pendleton was one of those guys, you know, the rookie, yeah. Ashland, seventh-round pick, finally got into the game. How did he do?
He did pretty well. If you think about it, I think he had 12 snaps and held his own, had a tackle, was in the backfield, disrupted a couple of those plays you're talking about. He was in the backfield, won some one-on-one blocks, but that experience for him is invaluable, and he held his own.
And you know, we saw Terrence Knighton more active yesterday than he had been, and obviously – you're going to need that from him on Sunday in a big way.
We're going to need that. C.J. Mosley, Tyson. We're going to need everybody, really, especially those guys outside putting some pressure on Brady.
And Babin had some pressure yesterday?
He did. You know, he caused the fumble, which he's just – he's like we talk about, he's a guy that can change the game with his rush.
Real
he's
disruptive.
Just relentless, relentless player.
Plays like that, you know – I mentioned earlier that Brady has not made many mistakes against this football team. He's so patient and he can beat you in so many different ways. It's about, you know, when you're going to take a quarterback like that, you've got to find a way to make him make a mistake.
Which is difficult, but the only way you can do that is be very sound, be very disciplined in what you're doing. Discipline's a big key word that, like I said, we got to be exactly where we need to be. And then when, if a play is there to be made, we got to make it.
The Niners did that last night.
And they did. They had four turnovers last night, which is, you know, that's the first game that the Patriots have lost the turnover battle. And that's amazing after 12 games. That's one of the reasons they're where they're at, because they win the turnover battle. And that is a huge stat when it comes to winning and losing football games. Not per se for us, because we've won more than you think and lost the games, which is, again, kind of falls under the way this season has gone.
Sure.
But the 49ers created four turnovers, and really they had a chance to put more points up early, and they missed a couple of throws. I mean, it really could have been a blowout, but you would think 31-3 would have been a blowout.
Well, I turned it off at 31-3.
Right.
At 31-3, I said, I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Before you knew it was 31-all. So that's how potent these guys can be. If it's a game all the way to that final whistle, and that's what we got to play.
And as we've talked about, you'll put your plan together, and there is very little margin for error, and your guys are going to have to.
We got to make some plays.
Yeah.
We're going to have to make some plays in all three phases, and they're good. It's a good football team coming in here, and they're going to face a team that's going to be ready for them.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back with one final segment with head coach Mike Mularkey here on a Monday evening, 8 days before Christmas, on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. You know, it's such a significant event in this country that it bears our conversation on this show. The Giants, the Jets, the Patriots all have done a public tribute to the folks in Newtown, Connecticut, as a father, and you are too. I was just dumbstruck, just
tragic,
unbelievable
to think what the families are going through out there. And I did talk to our team about it. I wanted to bring things into perspective. As bad as we felt this morning about the loss and where we are with our record, that we need to think about what's going on in the real world and how some families have been just absolutely devastated, and really a town that will be changed forever. And you know, I was just trying to show our team that we are, you know, winning is very important, losing is very tough to take, but it's, you know, there's things that are real out there that, you know, we got to think about some of those families.
Well, and a lot of your guys, coach, you know, felt this loss a few weeks ago when Jaden Sidney, who was a young girl who was battling cancer, and your players were going to visit her on their off day, and Ryan Robinson in the PR department developed a strong relationship. I mean, that was a very difficult time for a lot of guys.
I did,
wasn't theirs.
Yeah, I did too. Jaden was 9 years old. She touched me. She touched this team. She touched a lot of the players in just how she was so strong all the way up to her last day. And you know, our players are dealing with kids all the time, their own, but they spend a lot of time out in the community with kids, and I'm really proud of them. But there are some that are very sick, and they've touched their lives. And we actually had Jaden's mom out to practice on Friday to address the team, and she just wanted everybody to know how much this team has meant to that family. And I mean, a very somber moment to have her out there, and we miss Jaden.
Well, and I know, having talked to some of the folks in this building, just what she meant. And your guys are out in the community, and it's been a tough season, but it's been a win for this community, a big win. It's been 16 wins, it's been 20 wins, to have your 53 wins, to have your guys out in the community doing the things that they do.
They are amazing, because it's, especially when you're not having a good year, to make the time on your Monday and your day off on Tuesdays to go out there and touch people's lives. It's not just kids that, you know, they're involved with a lot of things in this community, and you know, it takes time away from their families, and it's just, I'm very proud of them, and that's the kind of group we have here. I think fans should be proud of these guys.
Congratulations on having that kind of a locker room, coach. And
thanks, Brian.
We'll all watch the Jets honor Newtown, Connecticut this evening as we end up week 15 in the NFL. Best of luck this week against the Patriots.
Thanks, Brian.
Have a great night, everybody.